Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blending School Watch Wednesday night lesson. Tonight's show will be in English and Thai. Our call-in number is 1-877-497-9937. The Lord's Prayer found in Matthew 6, verse 9 through 13. We're looking forward to our time together tonight. Still have time to gather your family, friends, and neighbors together. We will be starting in 3 or 4 minutes. Number 3, E flat major, opus 55 by Beethoven. Blending School Watch Wednesday night lesson. Thank you. Wednesday Night Lessons. This is your host, Diane Lenning, coming to you live from the United States of America on the west coast of the United States. We come at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and for most of you in the Eastern Hemisphere, it might be early in the morning, 7, 8, or 9 o'clock. So it's a good way to start your day, and we're so glad we're sharing this time together. Let's begin tonight by saying the Lord's Prayer together. I'm saying that the last month or so. It's found in Matthew 6, starting with verse 9. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Additionally, Lord, we thank you for this time together. It's a special time in which we can share with one another the Word of God and the good news about salvation and eternal life. And at the same time, people can learn English and learn about other people of the world, exchange our language and our cultures, and become all together a part of one family of God by becoming His children. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless each person who hears this, and that you would anoint the speaker tonight, Lord, to be in tune with what you would have them say, and for the word to speak to every listener as from God, speaking the truth that God wants each person to know. And we just pray for blessings for people around the world, for those who are seeking healing, or that their needs be met, or that their children follow after you and put the ways of the evil one. Lord, we pray for strength for each new Christian, that they will be able to walk in the stature of Christ. And we pray these things, believing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last month, we talked about John 7, in which Jesus went to the Festival of Tabernacles, and how there was division over who people believed Jesus was, and many more began to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah as they learned more about him, and as they found and saw that he had the power of God upon him and enacted many miracles. Healed many people. Indeed, only things that the Messiah, the Son of God, can do. And yet there did remain some unbelief among the Jewish leaders, enough that it would eventually be the time at which Jesus spoke of that would be coming. We're reading together tonight in John 8. So if you have John, please open it up to John 8, and if you have a pencil and paper and want to take notes, you can get that out. If you don't have those materials, that's fine. You can just listen and follow along. And remember, if you ever have opportunity to call in, you can call in to my toll-free number, 1-877-497-9937. I would love to hear from you. I am aware that there are many people around the world who do not have a phone, or if they did call, it would cost them so much money that they don't call. But we do know that we're now having over 3,000 a month listening to our shows. So our audience is growing, and we are aware of you, and we're praying for you and for God's blessings for you. Let's begin together by reading at John chapter 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now you're going to find out in the future that the Mount of Olives is very significant in the end times, and I believe we are living in the end times. Verse 2, at dawn he reappeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach him. Now, when he taught them, many believed him to be like a rabbi, a teacher. That's what rabbi means, teacher. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" Now I would like you to hear the answer to this, because there are still some people in the world who stone people. And personally, Christians today do not believe there is biblical reason or any human rights reason where people would be stoned. We just believe that's unjust. But let's look to the scripture for that, to confirm that. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. We also know that in the New Testament, which we're reading from in John, that Jesus said, "I'm bringing to you a new way, a better way of life than the Old Testament. It's a way of forgiveness and redemption through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. So you don't need to live totally by the Old Testament anymore. We don't have to do lamb sacrifice of animals anymore." So God himself decided there was a better way, and there are some things we can change from the Old Testament. So when you're reading things from the Old Testament and you're saying that's the way we ought to do it today, we need to consider as new Christians that the New Testament is the more modern way that God wants us to live, because we are living in the dispensation or time period of grace. Grace means we are forgiven of our sins by Jesus Christ, who shed his blood and died on the cross for us. So we are forgiven. When we're given grace, we are forgiven. And in the Old Testament, they had to do a blood sacrifice of an animal, of the best lamb, every year. We don't do that anymore. God has given us a better way. So we realize here in verse 6, it says they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. And you will see that there are many times people will ask you questions to try to trap you, and you must not be fooled by those questions. And just if you don't know the answer, just say, "I'll have to think about it," or "I'll research in the scriptures and I'll get back to you." But if you know the answer, then say it. But here they were definitely using it as a trap. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. Now notice what Jesus does here. He just kind of hesitated. Just stood back like he's contemplating and thinking about it. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Well, we all know, according to Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Any person who asks you a trick trap type question has also sinned. All have sinned. The Bible tells us that. So that's something perhaps you could say. The Bible says, Jesus said in John, that if we are without sin, then we could cast a stone, but he doesn't want us to cast stones because all of us have sinned. And he wants us to allow God to judge people. When we judge others, we think we're taking the position of God. We don't have a godly right to judge others, unless God has given a special dispensation to do that others. We can have opinions, but we can't judge them or condemn them to death or eternal hell. Only God can do that. So then, after he said that, let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground again. And at this, those who heard Jesus began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left, and the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin. Go now and sin no more." I think that's our better response as a Christian, as I would let God be your judge and convict you in your own spirit whether what you do is sinful or not. And I'm not going to condemn you, and just suggest, as Jesus did, that you be forgiven, ask God for forgiveness, and go and sin no more. God wants us to show love and tolerance and not to be too judgmental. Have you met those people who are so judgmental that the way you comb your hair, they judge? Or if your dress is too short, they judge it? Or if you had red nail polish on your fingernails, they judge it. God does not assign us to judge other people about how they dress or how they look or how they speak or how they live their life. That's God's assignment, to convict them in their own spirit. So we need to be aware that it's not godly to be judgmental and to constantly judge people, and to think that it's your job to look up scriptures to judge them with. Now, if we're having a discussion and you're answering questions they have, yes, give them scriptures. But let's be careful not to be judgmental. Verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one." Did you hear that verse? He says, you judge by human standards. We're not supposed to judge by human standards. Jesus says, I pass judgment on no one. Therefore, who do we think we are to pass judgment on people? If Jesus doesn't pass judgment on others, we shouldn't either. But if I do judge, he says, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. He is God in the flesh. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they ask him, where is your father? You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Dispute over who Jesus is. It seemed like they were having ongoing disputes of who Jesus was, weren't they? Just arguing and arguing and arguing. Once more Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, he cannot come? But he continued, you are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe me that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. So why take the chance? Why risk dying in your sin? Just ask Jesus into your heart. 25, who are you, they ask. Just what I have been telling you from the beginning, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that they were being told about his father. A lot of times people just don't understand. Sometimes it's good to give them a little understanding. It's a little slack. And just ask them a question or just say, just pray that God will reveal it to you. 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. I pray you are believing in him tonight. Did you read there and hear and understand that Jesus said what he does always pleases God? That's a role model that is good for us to emulate or try to be like. There was dispute over whose children Jesus' opponents are. 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Did you know hearing the truth will set you free? If you've been in darkness or oppressed or feeling like you're in bondage or chained in a life that you don't want to live, let the truth set you free. You can be set free tonight and free from that life of oppression by accepting Jesus as your Savior and becoming part of God's family. And I'm going to give you opportunity to do that later in the program, so stay with us. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if you're a sinner, you're a slave. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So we don't want to be a slave. We want to be a son or daughter or child of God. So if the Son of God sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to him, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. So have you known people claim to love God, but they don't love Jesus? Then they must have a different father from this God of the Bible we're talking about. A father who's not Jesus' father, and we don't want to be our father. We want Jesus' father to be our Father God. I have not come on my own, said Jesus. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Did you hear that? Unable to hear what I say. Why would that be? That's an interesting comment. Well, here's the answer. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. So when you belong to God, you will hear what he says, whether that is hearing him speak through the word of the Bible, or how God woos unto you and confirms by the Spirit the reality and truth that God wants us to know. God can reveal himself to you. Here are the claims Jesus makes about himself. Verse 48. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophet. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. Have you seen people glorify themselves? My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. In other words, he existed before Abraham was born. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Now only someone with miraculous powers and as the Son of God could hide himself from one second to the next, when standing there, talking to people. Let's take this opportunity to share a couple of scriptures about how you can give your heart to the Lord. In Matthew, it tells us, and when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. In order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, Jesus himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. In 1 Peter 2:24 it says that he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So we can claim salvation and healing through the blood sacrifice of Jesus. John 3:16 it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We can receive God's best gift, his Son. For as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus said, you must be born again. He's talking of being born again spiritually, to be renewed of your mind and your spirit, and to become a part of God's family. He also says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let's bow our heads and pray together. And those of you who are around and have already accepted the Lord, you can pray with others if that makes them feel comfortable. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to share the good news with others and to lead others to Christ and to accept salvation and become a part of your family. You can say this prayer with me. I know that I am separated from you, God. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins. And I receive your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my ways and walk in your ways, Lord. Jesus, I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I will follow and obey you as the Lord of my life. And Lord, help me to follow the scriptures and the example that you have given us in the New Testament, dear Lord, that I might grow into an adult, mature Christian in the stature of Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise the Lord for your salvation. And say, I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. And I believe that you will be with me and help me in all my days ahead to live a Christian life to the fullest. And I'm trusting you, Holy Spirit, to guide me and be my friend and guide. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to let you worship the Lord for a few minutes with that song, and I will be back with you in a few minutes. I thought I would make a correction for you. Our Thai speaker is going to be next week. So I will continue the rest of tonight's lesson in English, and I hope you will enjoy it. I'm going to be playing a worship song that I have played on my Sunday night special, and I do plan to do more. I just haven't gotten to uploading yet. But before I do, I'm going to sing a song that you've heard me sing, and I'm going to add a part to it at the end and segue into it after this familiar one you've heard. This is the day, and then I'll do a He Hath Made Me Glad. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad, he hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. So I added a little segue to the end of that familiar song to kind of increase your repertoire there, a little music. And then now I'm going to play that worship song. Oh, I just enjoy it so much. I hope you do as much as I do. It's by a young man named Matt. And he does this worship album, and I've bought his album and downloaded it, so I will be getting other music on here. It's just a matter of when I get to it. But this one is just wonderful. It, you know, in any language, we worship the Lord by saying hallelujah. So no matter what you speak, praise the Lord with hallelujah. This is endless hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And we will work. and we will worship, worship forever in your presence. We will sing, sing. We will worship, worship you. An endless hallelujah to the King.
Would like to read an additional scripture tonight that I haven't read before. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting from the beginning. And he says, "And now, my brothers," and I'm going to say, "and sisters, I want to write to you about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each one of you. For I don't want any misunderstanding about them. And I want you to remember that before you became Christians, you went around from one idol to another." And take a note that not one of those idols could speak a word. It's interesting that he would say that. But you are meeting people now who claim to speak messages from the Spirit of God. And how can you know whether they are really inspired by God or whether they are fake? We are seeing many fakes in the world today, I believe. Many false prophets and many people who claim to be of the Lord, but they're not. But here's the test. God gives us a test to look at, as well as the gift and guidance of the Holy Spirit to confirm in ourselves whether one is true or not. He says the test is that no one speaking by the power of the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. And no one can say, Jesus, Lord, and really mean it, unless the Holy Spirit is helping him. So now he's going to tell us here the kinds of gifts that all of us can have as part of the body of Christ. This is a really important section of scripture for new Christians all around the world, because when you can figure out your assignment or your spot or position that God wants you to have in the body of Christ, in the beginning of being a Christian, you have a longer time to develop that gift, and sometimes more than one gift, multiple gifts. You can have more than one, and you can develop those to maturity and then teach and mentor those after you how to use those certain gifts. Now, God gives us many kinds of special gifts and abilities, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. So the Holy Spirit gives all the gifts. There are different kinds of service to God, but it is the same Lord we are serving. So you might do something different than your Christian friend, but it's still service to God. And it is the same Lord we are all serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it is the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are His. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each of us as a means of helping the entire church. So He uses each of us and gives each of us gifts to edify and help the whole church, in our local church, in our larger churches, and in the body church of the world. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Someone else, another person, man or woman, may be especially good at studying and teaching. And I believe that's one of the gifts God has given me. And this is His gift from the same Spirit. And remember, you can have more than one gift. He gives special faith to another, and to someone else the power to heal the sick. Now, He gives more than one person these gifts. Many people receive these gifts because these people with gifts work all around the world among millions of people. He gives power for doing miracles to some, and to others, powers to prophesy and preach. He gives someone else the power to know whether evil spirits are speaking through those who claim to be giving God's messages, or whether it is really the Spirit of God who is speaking. Still another person is able to speak in languages he never learned, and others who do not know the language either are given power to understand what he is saying. It is the same and one Holy Spirit who gives all these gifts and powers, deciding each one of us should have. So the Holy Spirit gives us our job assignments. The Holy Spirit is the one who decides what job we have in the body of Christ. There's no other man, woman, child, or person who can say that someone shouldn't have a gift when the Holy Spirit and God has assigned that gift. And if God has assigned it, it will be evident. And it is not for you to struggle or fight with it within your own spirit or your own ego, or to be jealous of it. Don't be jealous of another gift. And don't limit it only to people of certain kinds to have certain gifts. God doesn't do that. You can be man or woman, it says it's neither male or female in Christ, and have any and all the gifts of God. You can be young or old and have all the gifts of God. You can be rich or poor and have God's gifts. You can know how to read and be illiterate and still receive God's gifts, even if you don't know how to read, because the Spirit gives them to you. You can have a good job or you maybe don't have a job. What type of job you had doesn't matter. God gives gifts according to his spirit. And it's not up to us to second guess who God decides is going to have gifts. And if you hear people saying only men can have this gift or only women can have a gift, they're in error. And they have usurped God's power and the Holy Spirit and quenched the Holy Spirit by putting their ego above the decision-making power of God and the Holy Spirit. Do not listen to those who say that a man or a woman is a requirement to have a certain gift. God himself says there is neither male nor female in Jesus. So let's not do that either. Let's not do that. Let's not limit God by our own egos or our own prejudices or biases or upbringing. Let's be open to the assignments and the gifts that God gives to others. And don't let our egos interfere with the workings of God in the Holy Spirit. For verse 12 says, our bodies have many parts, but the many parts make up only one body when they are all put together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of the one body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together in one body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. So if you're not like the other person, that doesn't make you any less a part of the body. You're just a different part that has a different function or does a different job. And what would you think if you heard an ear say, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye? Would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye. Then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? How could the body function if we didn't have your part? You are important and needed. That isn't the way God made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it to be. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part and only men could do it or only women could do it. So he has made many parts, but still there is only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you, or I don't want you to do that ministry because you're a man, or I don't want you to do that ministry because you're a woman, or I don't want you to do that ministry because you're poor, or I don't want you to do that ministry because you can't read, or I don't want you to do that ministry because you're not educated. I don't want you to do that ministry because I don't like you, or I don't like how you treat other people. No, we can't say that. That's up to God to say that. And we can't say we don't need them. We need everyone in the body of Christ. And some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are often really the most necessary. Yes, we are especially glad to have some parts that seem rather odd. And we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. While, of course, the parts that may be seen do not require this special care, so God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important. This makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts that have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. If your toe really hurts, your whole body suffers. So we need to work together to make the toe not feel pain and injury and heal it. So so that the whole body can feel good again. We know that example. So now here is what I'm trying to say. It says in Corinthians, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. And here is a list of some of the parts that he has placed in his church, which is the body of Christ. The parts being the jobs or assignments. Some are apostles, some are prophets who preach God's word, some are teachers, some are those who do miracles, some are those who have the gift of healing, some have the gift of helping others, some have a gift of helping others to work together, some have the gift to speak in languages no, you haven't ever learned. Is everyone apostle? Of course not. Is there more than one apostle? Yes. Is everyone a preacher? No. Are there more than one preacher? Yes. Is everyone a teacher? No. Is there more than one teacher? Yes. Does everyone have the power to do miracles? Can everyone heal the sick? Of course not. But can more than one person have the power to do miracles and heal the sick? Yes, of course. Does God give us all the abilities to speak in languages we've never learned? Can just anyone understand and translate what those are saying who have that gift of foreign speech? No. But try to your best to have the more important of these gifts. In other words, seek and ask the Lord for the gifts that your heart desires and ask the Lord to help you with those gifts. First, however, let me tell you about something else that is better than any one of these gifts. If I had the gift of being able to speak in other languages without learning them and could speak in every language there is in all of heaven and earth, but did not love others, I would only be making noise. So the greatest gift we all need is a gift to love others. If I had the gift of prophecy and knew all about what is going to happen in the future, knew everything about everything, but did not love others, what good would it do? If I have the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, I would still be worth nothing at all without love. If I gave everything I have to the poor people, and if I were burned alive after preaching the gospel, but did not love others, it would be of no value whatsoever. Love is very patient and kind, never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. So if you love the other parts of the body of Christ, with their different and various ministries, you will be loyal to him or her no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him or her and always expect the best of the person and always stand your ground in defending him or her. All the special gifts and powers from God will someday come to an end, but love goes on forever. Someday prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge, these gifts will disappear. Now we know so little, even with our special gifts, and the preaching of those most gifted is still so poor. That means even those who are really gifted preachers, it's still not very good compared to what God can do through us and expects we can do. But when we have been made perfect and complete, then the need for these inadequate special gifts will come to an end, and they will disappear. Now that one line there has been the subject of more controversy I have heard in my life growing up about what it means to be complete and made perfect. And that is something you and I may not understand for a long time. But I do have ideas to share with you about that in the future. But that will be another lesson when you have learned more about the scripture and grow more in the stature of a Christian, about what it would be to be made perfect and complete, and that these special gifts would become inadequate. It's sort of like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I became a man, my thoughts grew far beyond those of my childhood, and now I have put away the childish things. In the same way, we can see now and understand only a little about God now, as if we were peering at his reflection in a poor mirror that was clouded and you couldn't see in well. But someday, we are going to see him in completeness, face to face. Now, all that I know is hazy and blurred, like seeing in a glass darkly. But then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into your and my heart right now. These are the three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That would be a good verse for you to memorize. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse, 13:13. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, some interpretations use the word charity for love. I think that King James Version uses charity. So if you hear faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is love, that's the same verse. The greatest of these is love. With God's love, we can do all things. All things are possible through Christ strengtheneth me. We're going to read that verse someday as we continue through the New Testament. And at some point in time, I will stop and give you a list of verses I think are good to memorize, and I will go over those every so often as the Lord leads. Because when you hide the Word of God in your heart, it will not go far from you. No one can take it away from you. So it's important to hide the Word of God in your heart, for there may be a day when the Word of God cannot be spoken without great persecution and punishment. In fact, I think we have already reached that era for many people in the Eastern Hemisphere, and it may yet be approaching some of the rest of the parts of the world. And it's important to hide the Word of God in your heart. I'm so glad for this time together with you tonight. You know, that was extemporaneous, what I just shared with you. That was the Holy Spirit guiding and leading me to share that chapter in 1 Corinthians with you tonight, the chapter 6. Because it's an important part of becoming mature Christian, is to find out the gifts and the ministry that God wants you to do, and not to be pigeonholed into something that you don't believe God has not called you to do. God has called you to do something. It will work. And believe and have faith. Step in it. And seek support of those who agree with your calling. There will always be some who, out of jealousy or their egos or for whatever reason, will discount what you believe God has called you to do. Don't let that keep you from working in the Spirit as God has called you to do. God bless you. Let's pray together as we close tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our friends around the world. We do appreciate this modern technology that brings the ability to bring us close together in one body of Christ as you prepare your bride for the end time and when you come back on the Mount of Olives. For those who've chosen to rule and reign in Christ, we know that through all the suffering and persecution that many have endured and are yet to endure, that in the end, God wins. Satan will be overcome. We know that eventually here, before that white throne judgment, Satan will be chained for 1,000 days. Perhaps in years, I'm not sure this would happen. But 1,000 units of time in which his evil will not be perpetrated on the earth. God did speak symbolically a lot of times. It's not always years or days when he says it, but we know that example from Genesis when he says in the first day he made this, etc., and a lot of people believe it's longer than a day. But God speaks a lot in allegories and symbolism. That's why the understanding of it takes the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, Lord, for revealing more to us each day as we approach the end time to help us understand the Word and to trust and believe that you, God, will be with us and protect us and use us as your vessels according to your plan of your great kingdom. And in the furtherance of your kingdom, Lord God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us. We look forward to being with you again next Wednesday night with English and Thai. And hopefully I'll be over this cold. I'm sorry, it's kind of gotten my language tonight. But God loves you, I love you, and all our co-hosts love you, and our producer Maria loves you. So good night and take care. Goodbye.